everybody. Welcome to the podcast. So glad you're listening. Listen, today we want to talk about grace, understanding your key to absolute victory. Listen, there are so many Christians struggling in this life. And listen, I know how that feels. I have been there with that. You're worshiping God. You're praying often. You're reading the word. You're reading all this stuff with great power. You're hearing great sermons. But honestly, every day in your heart, your mind, and with your prayers being answered, with seeing the will of God manifested in your life, it's just not happening. It's not happening the way you think. It's certainly not happening the way you see in the Bible, and you see around you with some things, and God's doing some things in some people's lives, and you're like, man, what's not working for me? Why is it not working for me? Or we're struggling in areas where we feel trapped, restricted, and we can't move forward. Or you know there's something in you that's good and of God, and you can't seem to get that out. It can't seem to flow out of you in a prosperous way. There is some good things that you know are trapped in your life. Listen, we want to talk about grace today. I want to talk to you about grace, and I want to talk to you about getting those good things out. Now, I'm going to do at least two, maybe some more podcasts on grace, so stick with me through them. Listen, how are we supposed to find victory when we're living in defeat? Because, listen, you go to church and you're like, man, you need to apply your faith. You need to pray and quote the word of God. It'll just come. But, I mean, sometimes you feel stuck. You know that victory is out there. You read it in the words. You've seen it in the gospel. But you're not seeing it in your own life. We need grace. How do we move forward when it takes all we have just to stay upright? How can we activate the power of God in us when we don't see it even working around us? What do we need to do? We need grace. Now, I think in the Christian world, I absolutely know. There's some people that understand grace. And for this podcast, you're going to absolutely enjoy. For some of you, though, and a lot of people, they don't understand grace. It's like we relegate it to this being saved, and it stops. Like we're drowning in an ocean, and Jesus drove up in a boat, threw us a life preserver, and as soon as we got on top, and he's like, man, that's awesome, and then drove away and left us in the ocean, just on a life preserver. We're just still out there stuck. No way to get to land. No way to get to safety. A lot of people think grace is like that. God saved you. He lifted you out of the miry clay, and he set you on some more dry mud so you can just sit there and figure out how to go. No. That is not grace. That is not grace. Listen, let's dive into this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 8. These are going to be some scriptures you've heard before, but listen. You stick with me. Stick with me a few minutes, and let me help you understand where grace comes from, why grace is even here, and what God has been and is doing with grace right now in your life. Listen to this, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 8. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And you've heard that a lot. By grace, you have been saved. We're going to dig into that. And raised, verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his greatness and his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. Now, it says right there in verse 7, in the ages to come, some people think grace is just for the future. No. Grace is not only for the present, but grace will continue to flow out of God towards you through all eternity. You will live in that grace. But let's get into what grace is. For grace, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. I think if we're going to understand grace, we need to look at this. Grace is not just redemption. There's power in it. Okay, there's power in there too. And I think we know that grace has some power in it, but I want to ask you this question. This is where I really want to start digging into what grace is. Why is there grace at all? Of what benefit to God is grace? Why would he create a method to empower people and lift people and deliver people? Does it make him greater? Does God now shine brighter because he shows grace? When he shows grace, does it fill God's bank accounts? When he shows grace, do the angels become more powerful? Do stars shine brighter because God shows you grace? What benefit is God's grace to him? How does it benefit him? What's in it for him? Now, I don't believe God is a what's in it for him kind of guy. I'm asking you this question. I want to get down. I want to dig into this. Why have grace at all? Why? Why not just save us, live in the muck, and when we go to heaven, everything will be fine? Why not just leave us drowning in sin here? Why? What is grace? What is it doing? Why is it there? Listen to this. Grace is about you. That's the first thing you need to understand. God did not invent grace for the stars. He did not say, I will invent grace that the sun might shine brighter. He didn't say, I'll make grace so that the angels will worship me more. No, 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 no. The first thing you need to understand about grace, if you're going to walk in the victory of it, is grace is all about you. You are the reason grace exists. And it's not because you're some terrible person caught up in sin and God's like, oh, I got to drag them out of sin again. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not it. Grace was custom made for you personally. And every member of mankind has been presented with this gift of God's power to accomplish his perfect will. See, grace is about you. Grace is all about you personally. Grace is proof. Listen to this. This is the foundation of grace. The foundation of it. Grace is proof that you are loved. You need to know this. You are personally, specifically, absolutely beautiful before God. And he is in deep love with you. And for that reason, he extends not just power, not just kindness, but power to accomplish his will. Grace is all about you. Listen, if you see grace at work, could there be any work of grace? Anything that does not also contain power and love at the same time? Is there anything out there? I mean, what is grace without power? It's just wishful thinking. I mean, if I see somebody drowning in the ocean and I can't swim and I don't have any life preservers, what can I do but hope? See, grace without power is just wishful thinking. That doesn't really help anybody. And grace, if it was just power without love for you specifically, then it's just God's power on display. It's not focused anywhere. It's not moving a direction. It's not accomplishing anything. It's like fireworks. It's just to look at. No, 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 no. Grace is God's power focused towards you because you are loved. The foundation of grace. And if you're going to walk in its victory, you need to understand this. It's custom built for you because he loves you. Listen, grace, let me define this for you. God's grace is his power, his working in and around you, because that's what grace does. It works in and around us. It brings us into his perfect will. It motivates us. It moves things around us. It accomplishes for us. It lifts us up. It rescues. It restores. It redeems. And who does all that power focus? What is all that power focused on? It's focused on you. See, God's grace is power and his love. God's grace is not just accomplishment and it's not just caring. It's a caring accomplishment on your behalf. Grace is always God's power to you to accomplish his will for you because he loves you. Grace is not your power accomplishing his will, it's him accomplishing his will. Grace is not His power accomplishing your will. Grace is His power accomplishing His will. And grace is not His power just doing stuff. It's His power working on your behalf to bring all the good He has always intended for you to have into your hands for one reason. He loves you. And we often speak and sing of grace, and we forget that truth, that grace is extended from God to you. That's what it's there. There's no other way to define grace if you don't define it with love. God is not lifting Himself up by grace. Listen to this next statement. God is lifting you up. And where is He lifting you with His grace? He's bringing you to Himself. Grace brings God nothing except you. That's what it's for. It brings you to Him by His power, by His might, destroying every bondage, destroying every thing holding you back, helping you see, helping you understand, giving you a voice when you need to hear it, bringing you something along to help you. He's accomplishing His will both in you and around you for one reason. Grace is bringing you to Him. All that He says, all that He's planned, all that He's wanted to give you, grace is bringing you into it. Grace is all about you. Think about that. Just think about that for a second in your own life. Is there anything God's doing that's not good? And is there anything God's doing but calling you up into Him, closer to Him, calling you out of anything that's restraining you, and giving you both power and wisdom to do it? Sometimes we feel trapped and we say, how can I do that thing I know in my heart I should do? Grace is how you do it. Grace is how you let go of your own power and let God begin to do for you. Now we're going to get into some ways we apply grace and walk in grace and function in grace. But today I'm just helping you define it and see what it is. Listen, grace is a kindness that knows no boundary but rejection. And it knows no hindrance except for pride. Grace, since it is a characteristic of God, it is therefore just like Him. It is powerful enough to have no boundary, but kind enough to never go past free will. Grace, for everything, there is a grace for everything that God desires for you. Okay? For everything that God wants, everything in His will, there is a supernatural grace to accomplish it. And the reverse is true. Or in addition to that, everywhere that God's perfect will is not fulfilled in your life, there is a grace to change that. Do you have something going on in your life that you don't quite understand, but you know it's not right? There's a grace to understand. There's a grace for wisdom. Is someone coming against you? And you don't know what's going on? Is there something blocking or hindering your life? Is there a sickness, a disease, a restraint on your physical body? Are there a lot of finances that you are sowing? You're being generous, but you're not seeing the harvest. Anywhere that God's will is unfulfilled in your life, there is a supernatural grace to change that. Grace is always God's power to you to accomplish His will for you. Because He loves you. Now listen, grace has always been and will always be essential to a relationship with God. Your connection with God is built on grace because grace is custom built for you. It is God's power at work in you and it's drawing you unto Him, into His perfect will and into perfect closeness with Him. When you think about Adam and Eve when they sinned, what did God do? Stay away? Destroy the earth? Recreate the universe? Nope. He went straight down there to meet with them. And the first thing He did is He gave them a redemption they could not have on their own. He clothed them with animal skin, which they did not know how to do by His own hand, by His own power. He set them in a place to be with him. He did that. He fixed it by his own power for one reason. He loved them. Yeah. See, grace is always about relationship. You can't have a relationship with God without grace. And grace is always leading you into closeness with God. Even being able to have prayer times and Bible study times that generate in you spiritual power, spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, that itself is a work of grace. You ought to be studying your Bible. You ought to be praying in the Holy Ghost. You ought to be worshiping God. You ought to be spending time with prayer. You ought to be saying, Father, what should I be praying over? Who can I pray over? Who can I lift up right now? And in all of that, there is a grace to accomplish something in that time you're spending. There's a grace to have a relationship with God that's fruitful. Because everywhere where the will of God is needed, there's a supernatural grace to accomplish it. And that grace is there because you're worth it. Because he loves you. Grace is a force stronger than any part of reality. Nothing can stand in its way except for pride. In fact, to tell you the truth, out of reading the Bible, I've read it through multiple times. I've read all kinds of, just studied so much of the Bible. I've never found anywhere, listen to this statement, where God will stand in the way of a Christian from moving forward in life, except for when that Christian's in pride. It's the only place I see God say, I will not allow you to move forward. It's when that Christian's in pride. Grace is a force stronger than any part of reality. Any part of reality. Grace is stronger than sickness, disease, poverty. It's stronger than abuse that you have suffered. It's stronger than a mean hearted or a mean spirit that's in you. It's stronger than mental deficiencies that you may be having. It's stronger than your boss's restraint of you who says, I'm not going to promote them because they're a Christian. It's stronger than the economy. It's stronger than politics. It's stronger than geography. But grace will not move past pride. It won't. Until you accept God, grace won't flow. As long as you reject him and leave yourself as the power to move you forward in God's will, you will be restrained. We can talk a little bit about that later. But look at over this. Zechariah, I mean, I just love this. I love this. Zechariah 4, chapter 4. There we go. There we go, Chad. Read your notes. Chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Listen to this. It says, so he answered me. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. I won't get into who Zerubbabel is. It's really great. But anyway, it says, not by might. Nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 7. Ooh, I love this. And God is continuing to talk. He says, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, like flat ground. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you'll become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstones with shouts of grace to it. Now, Zerubbabel, at this time in history, he's rebuilding the temple after the children have been taken into captivity. Some of them have been released, and he's rebuilding the temple. And there's some opposition to that. And this is what God says. Who are you, great mountain? Who are you? What do you think you are trying to stand in the way of my perfect will? I will mow you down and make you a flat plain. Every enemy, every resistive force, every force in the natural, every force in the spiritual, all of you will be laid flat. And I will build the temple right there in my perfect will. And I'm going to empower Zerubbabel to do it and all those that came with him. See, that's where you see all those things coming together. What is that temple for? That's where God meets with his people. What is that temple for? That's a place where forgiveness flows, where redemption is done. What is the temple for? It is from there that they talk about deliverance. It's from there that they talk about freedom from debt. It's from that temple, from those words of God, that they talk about the greatness of God moving on their behalf and making them great. That's where his presence is housed. That's where his light is housed. That's where his holiness is housed. Right there. And he says, I'm going to empower and every opposition, every force that's coming against it, you are going to be laid flat by my own power, because it's not by power nor by might that you see in the natural. It's not by your wisdom, your planning, your cunning, your logic. It's not going to be your great speech. I'm going to lay these foundations across all of you. I'm just going to mow you down and lay the foundations of my glory and my relationship with my people by my own power. And I'm going to give it victory to them. That's grace. That's grace. When there's grace on the scene, there's no need to fight, strive, scheme, beg, clamor about, try to accomplish anything. That's why I wonder so sometimes when people say, they're taking advantage of me. Let me tell you, what greater advantage do you have than grace? I mean, should somebody come against you and try to deny you your promotion or your money or try to take this? Man, what is it that grace won't accomplish? Who are you, O great mountain? Who are you to come against me because of the color of my skin? Who are you to come against me because of the God I worship? Who are you to come against me, sickness? Who are you to come against me, debt? Who are you to come against me, abuses of my past? God is going to lay you flat, and I will use you as the foundation to lift up, to raise this thing up to God, where I can stand clean in his presence, face to face, covered in mercy, surrounded in holiness, and commune with my Father. Listen, grace is about a relationship. It is custom built for you to destroy every single effect of sin in your life. It is made to mow down every work of the enemy and establish nothing but the perfect will of God. And it does it with super abundant power. Do you know what super abundance is? Not just enough. If I need $100 and I've got $100, I've got just enough. If I need $100 and I got $120, I got some excess. If I need $100 and I've got $75 trillion, I'm super abundant. See, abundant is a supply that cannot be exhausted. Not now. Not forever. Even in eternity, should I spend it every day, it is a supply that cannot be exhausted. Grace is abundant. It is abundant. There are so many different graces. You can have grace on your finances. Grace is forgiving. Grace is on your speech to say words clearly. Grace to communicate in tense situations. Grace on your body to bring healing. Grace on your mind to bring deliverance. Grace that floats around you so you can draw people that have previously rejected the gospel to draw them in. There is a million different graces, and any single one of them can defeat every work of the enemy in your life. You don't even need to access them all to see the enemy fail. You just need one. Any grace can completely defeat the enemy. And there's too many different graces to even think of. There's graces we don't even know exist. Things that will be explained in eternity. That's your God. And what is that grace doing? It is for you. And he's bringing you into his perfect will, where there is great and unhindered fellowship. Grace is all about you, because you are loved. And until you understand that foundation of grace, you cannot walk in it. You can't walk in it. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, let me say this. In Ephesians chapter 1, it shows us that before there was even heaven and earth, sun, moon, stars, space, time, gravity, anything, before any part of reality had been formed, God had determined in his own heart to, listen to this, vigorously display his love for you. He wasn't going to hold back at all. Listen to this, Ephesians chapter 1. I love this. Many people say the love chapter is 1 Corinthians 13. That for me, honestly, this is the love chapter, Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just stop there and say amen. Blessed is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Continue on here, verse 3, who has blessed us. And I'm going to replace the word us with me, because I want you to hear that. I want you to be able to say that. Who has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places through the work of Christ. Just as he chose me in him before the foundations of the world, before the world had existed in any part of it. Not earth, not the planet earth, the world, creation. Before the foundations of creation, that I should be holy and without blame before him in love. So my relationship with him was not only supposed to be there before him, face to face, but it was a relationship of love and not a servanthood. Listen to that statement for a second. Before any reality existed, time, space, anything, God had predestined you to stand before him completely clean forever in a relationship of love. That's why grace is about love. It's because of love, and it's all about you, you and God. So verse 4, just as he chose me in him before the foundations of the world, that I should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined me to be adopted as his own. To what created thing has he given that right? None. Not to any of the planets, not to the stars, not to the animals, not to the angels. There is none that was predestined before all things to be adopted as a son and a daughter, to become children who bear his name. Wow. Having predestined me to be adopted as his own through the work of Jesus Christ unto himself, according to, listen to this statement, verse 5. According to the good pleasure of his will. This was always in his heart. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made, not I made, not I did the work, he made me acceptable in the beloved. Love is what focuses the power of God on you. It's not your actions, it's his heart. It's not your actions, it's his heart. Grace flows because of his perfect love, and it flows right past your imperfect love. Okay? It's always been that way. Shame, which is what the enemy uses to restrict you from believing that God's grace is going to work in your life. Let me say that again so you'll catch it. Shame is what the enemy uses to restrict you from believing the grace of God is working in your life. Shame can go right back to hell where it came from. Satan is the accuser of the brothers, what the Bible says. Satan is the one who accuses. Satan is the one who says, they have sinned, punish them. He's the one who takes our imperfections and makes accusations against us, our wrongs. Yeah, we've done wrong. We're not going to deny that, but we claim mercy. Why? Because it was in God's perfect will. He predestined us to stand before him holy and blameless in love. It was in his heart to do that, and grace is that work. To allow shame and condemnation into your life is to resist the will of God, which had always been to adopt you into his own through the work of Jesus. Grace was God's perfect will all the time. Jesus, the great Savior of all mankind, the Redeemer, Advocate, he stands before God Almighty and says, I died, therefore they're clean. Now let grace flow. See, Hebrews, it says that over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, seeing that we have so great a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who can't sympathize with where we're at. He understands our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, and he didn't sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help, grace for help in time of need. Listen, as long as sin is flowing in your life, you will always need grace. And even if we read over in Ephesians, it said he's going to all eternity show grace. I'm not actually quite sure how all that works, but there's going to be even more grace through all eternity. Amen. Listen, this grace of God, I will lift you out of where you're at. I, by my own power, will rescue, redeem, restore. I will heal. I will deliver on behalf of you. Even though you have taken my power and lost it, and for the things of my will that you have even tossed aside. Let me say that again, that you have tossed aside for sin. You have set aside my glory and taken up sin and it's cost you, I will deliver you from that for one reason. I love you. I love you. Grace is proof that you are loved. You are precious before God. Precious before Him. And this grace, this is the gospel. This is the light that brings life to all people. Redemption, restoration, renewing, these are the hallmarks of the gospel. This is the light of the gospel. This grace is what draws mankind. Not that there's just love. Not that God's powerful. Not that one day when you get to heaven, you might taste a little of it. No. This is what's unique to God. There's currently power available, and it's well able to restore, renew, redeem everything that was lost, stolen, or damaged. In your life, all that you lost or tossed aside, you're forgiven of. Now listen, grace goes beyond that. Grace doesn't bring you out of debt up to zero. Grace moves you well past zero and turns you into a millionaire. See, we look at grace and say, well, if God will just lift me out of this, I'll get that little job I need, and I'll just love God, you know, just with my little bit, just forever. That's not super abundant. That's just enough. You might have an excess of 1%. Listen, in a universe, listen to this. In the entire universe, I didn't say in our solar system, I didn't say on our planet. In the entire universe, when you look down at the molecular structure of things, I won't get it all into science, but I've looked into it and talked to some PhD friends about electrons and neutrons and protons. Listen, there is no two identical things in the entire universe. No two. There is nothing in this entire universe, not even down on an atomic level, that is completely identical to something else. You think God doesn't have enough for you? Listen, He doesn't want to just redeem you. He just don't want to fix what was broken. He just doesn't want to help you out of the abuse. He wants to turn you into a light that no man can deny. And let me tell you what attracts people in sin. Greatness, freedom, greatness, health, joy, no matter what. Grace is not a bring you up to zero kind of thing. It's to launch you far beyond zero. Grace is not just trying to promote you to a level playing ground. No. It's going to favor you and bring you up high. Don't deny grace's ability to do more than redeem. Let it lift you high. Listen, no other religion promises that. Nowhere in the wildest imaginations of all mankind and all the ages of history has anybody come up with a God that lifts you out without making you repay your debts, that brings you not only up to just normal, but wants to super abundantly throw you past every single thing that can hinder you in life and bring you up to a place of glory that is so great it cannot be fathomed. Nowhere in history does that happen. No invented religion can even fathom that. That grace is unique to God only. And it's unique to you because grace is custom made for you. Listen, let's look at this. This word, this grace, is greater than everything. It's the word, it's the good news, and it ought to be a light to you. If there is something in your life that is not in the will of God, remember, grace is accomplishing the will of God. It's what it's there to do. It's to bring you in His perfect will. And everywhere that there is not the will of God, there is a grace to overcome it. Now, you need to begin to put faith in that grace. Shame will tell you, quit praying for healing. Quit praying for it. You're not healed because your prayers aren't right. Let me tell you something. Prayers of faith are short because they don't need a lot of words because we don't put faith in how we say the words. God is not trying to make you jump through hoops to get healed. hoops to get blessed. That doesn't sound like grace. That sounds like religion. That sounds like the enemy. He will lie to you and deceive you every single step of the way. He will try to hinder you from everything. Shame, condemnation, throwing your sins up in your face, telling you that the future he promised you is not yours. That's what the enemy will do. But it says you come boldly before the throne of grace and you obtain mercy. Let me speak about that throne, and I'm going to end on this, and then we'll get into some grace in the next podcast, some more practical ways and to work grace out in your life every day. But let's talk about that throne of grace. Listen, when the king has a throne, the king sits on that throne, and from that throne, he administers all of his kingdom. He runs it. He tells that this one you go. He tells that this one you come here. He says, go fight the battle there. He said, make a treaty there. He says, go grow crops there. Go harvest crops there. Bring this one forward. Build this. Don't build that. From the king right there on that throne, the king runs everything. All of his power, all of his wisdom, all of his strength, all of his might, all of his authority is administered from this one place. From this throne that he sits on. Do you know what God built his throne out of? He built it out of grace. He said, all of my power, all of my might, all of my wisdom, all of my strength, all of my authority is going to be administered unto you from this one mindset, from this one place. I will give you what you cannot have. I will do for you what you could not do. I will lift you out of what you could never come out of. And I'll do it for one reason, because I had predestined you to stand right here before me as one of my children in perfection, in holiness, and in love, so that we might be face to face. His entire being is focused as a movement of grace on you. On you. That's grace. That's your key to victory. Your key to victory, listen, is not you. It's God. And your key to unlock that victory is realizing you are loved. You are forgiven of your sins. You are cherished by God. And there's not a single promise he made that he does not want you to have. Do you want to know why grace is the absolute key to your victory? Because God loves you. You are loved. And everything that's hindering you, there's a grace to be a wife, a grace to be a husband, to be a parent. Even if your kids are 50 years old, there's still a grace for you to work in their lives for good. There's a grace for promotions at work. There's a grace to start a business. There's a grace to begin to use talents that you know are there, but haven't even known where to start with them. There's a grace to clear your mind of your past. There's a grace to be free from addictions. There's a grace to overcome depression, debt. Everything. There's a grace. There's a grace for you to get through traffic in the spirit of peace. There's a grace for you to minister to the people where you work. And what is that grace? It is the working of God's power to accomplish his will because he loves you. Let me tell you, you've got a grace. It's time to access it. It's time to give God the right to love you lavishly through his power. It's time to open the door to grace. If you're ready to do something with grace, get in your Bible. There's so many places online you can do this. Just look up the word grace and begin to read. Just begin to read what grace does. You see grace coming from favoring people. You see grace strengthening people. You see grace overcoming things. Listen, I read in Zechariah about Zerubbabel. Listen, the people of Israel had sinned for generations and generations, and through thousands of prophecies and many signs and wonders, they just kept on sinning until finally the enemy completely took control of them, wiped out, killed men, women, and children, burned their lands, tore up their crops, destroyed their cities, and took them all, stripped most of them naked, and walked them into another kingdom. And took them in as slaves. The same king that did that bankrolled them to come back out and to build a temple. That's grace. Pulled them back out of the sin they had got themselves into. And then he calls the very person who imprisoned them to set them free, hand them a bunch of money, and say, hey, anything else you guys need? Here's a blank check. Go build your temple and worship your God. Wow. Wow. It's time to let God love you through his grace. Stop looking at your life and being frustrated that there are problems in your body, in your mind, in your finances, in your marriage, in your parenting, at work. There is a grace for every good thing from God. And it's time to walk in it. Because grace is custom made for you. Because you are loved. Listen, I hope you guys got something out of the podcast today. I've been working on this for a few weeks, man, and I'm so happy about. Listen, I got some stuff that has just been blessing my life on the next one or two podcasts. I don't know how many I'm going to do on grace. If this was a blessing, share it with somebody. Stick around. You know, the next ones are coming out as soon as I can get them out. Appreciate you guys listening. We'll talk to you again.